Wow. Do we really need to preach after all of that? Amen. Yes, we need Jesus, that is for sure. You know, this weekend's workshop, it's our New Year's workshop starting 2019, has been entitled Bold as Lions. And so the lesson today is simply entitled Bold as Lions. You know, I'm very creative. Just go with the theme. Thursday night, we got to meet with quite a few of the leaders, the shepherds of our church, Jack and Jeannie and Ted and Kathy, as well as the staff, those that I mentioned already, but also we had Ron and Tracy with us, which was awesome. And we talked about leading and shepherding as bold as lions. And then Friday night, we met with the LTP, the Leadership Training Program, 52. The 52 has grown to 56. I don't really know how that happened, but it's over about half of the church are in a leadership training program, and we talked about raising up to lead as bold as lions, and Marcel did an unbelievable job. I literally would dare say his best sermon ever. And then, you know, the Saturday workshop for the men in the morning was just flat out awesome. Our brother Frank Hines preached the word and really just guided us to be bold in a proper way. And then Ron gave the other speech that was just tremendous. Literally probably one of the best sermons I've heard you preach, bro. Yeah. And to see how much you've grown, it's like I'm blown away. We have such a great opportunity now in Atlanta because Ron and Tracy are there to literally evangelize that city. And I'm just so proud of everyone who spoke, everyone who served. Guys, it goes unnoticed a lot, but back in the back you have Chris Green, the lion of the video and audio. I don't know if you notice, every time you hug Chris on a Sunday, he's sweating. Hug him anyway. It's because he's working so hard. And now you see back there, he's assembling a team of lions to help him, which is very important. As we grow as a church, we've got to pull people in our friendships and our relationships to really help us. If you're just being bold on your own, hey man, you're going to last a week or two. You may be really tough and go a year, and then you're gone. And so you've got to be able to pull around you great relationships. And I just want to repeat a little bit of one of the stories that Marcel told Friday night. And he talked about a video he had seen of a young lion. Young lion had gone out. He was kind of going on his own, you know. He jumps over this lake and he's just kind of strutting around. And all of a sudden he finds himself in a group of hyenas. And I've seen hyenas up close. You know, they're not the little comical guys, you know, on the... That's not a real hyena. A real hyena is about as big as a bear. They're huge. They're about 3 feet tall and about 6 feet long. And they are ferocious. They they're unbelievable. But they hunt in packs. They don't really go alone. So even as stupid as they are, they have figured out to stay in a pack. So they hunt together. Well, this lion's strutting around. He gets in the pack of hyenas. And one by one, they start attacking him. And he's fighting them off. You know, he's the lion, right? He's fighting them off. And he's fighting them off. And pretty soon, three are on him, and he's bleeding, and four are on him, and he gets them off, and five are on him, and he gets them off. And finally, one of his family members hears the ruckus. Another lion hears what's happening to his brother, to his family. And he comes through the woods, and he looks through, and he sees the 20 hyenas and goes, okay. And he jumps right in there, and he helps his brother out. They win the battle, the hyenas go running, and the two are victorious. You know, today, I hope that you're not going to try to be bold as a lion on your own. You just won't make it. We have a false understanding of what boldness is. Bold is that guy that, hey, how are you? You know, any of you that are a little bit older, you know, it's John Wayne. Well, dear... You know, I mean, that guy was, go back and watch some John Wayne movies. He was the toughest dude you've ever seen in your life. And he was always alone. I don't think he ever had a crew. It was just always John. We've got a false understanding of what boldness is. And so today I hope to share with you some things that'll help your hearts. To be bold as a lion in a godly, biblical, and proper way, so that 2019 won't be the year that you got attacked by hyenas by yourself. But it'll be the year that, yeah, you're going to get attacked by hyenas. They're coming after you. Satan himself, who's described as a lion, is coming after you. But if you and I can fight the right way spiritually, we'll be able to win the battle as family. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 28.
Come on, man.
Bold as lions. Well, how do we get there? Proverbs 28 and verse 1, the Bible says, "The wicked man flees, though no one pursues. But the righteous are as bold as a lion." You know, very interesting. I was going to title my first point, "The Wicked Flees." And I thought that probably won't go well. Some of you got it, but amen. Wicked fleas. You ever had fleas in your house? Now, that's not in my notes. That's just something that happened when I was writing the sermon. Yeah. So instead of calling it the wicked fleas, point number one is wicked fleas, though no one pursues. You know, before we get to the bold part, we got to figure out what the scripture is teaching us here. The wicked man flees, though no one pursues. Inside the heart of the wicked man is insecurity. Inside the heart of the wicked man is darkness. He's hiding his life. And the women too. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We're wicked people. I mean, honestly. Honestly. What did you do yesterday that was good enough to get you into heaven? Well, how about 2018? How about the last 10 years? Nothing that we've done since the day we were born is even close to being anything worthy of getting us into heaven. So the Lord simply says, there is no unrighteous, no, not one. We are all wicked. And well, that's not fair. He made us that way. No, he made you with the ability to choose. Sadly, we give in to our sinful nature and we become wicked. And don't you find that when you're wicked, you feel insecure?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
You try to put up a bold front. What I did was okay. And then at home alone, you're like, why? What was I doing? Or when you get caught, now you're humble. Oh, I'm so sorry. The wicked flees, though no one pursues. There's insecurity. There's the fear of exposure. There's the fact that you know you should have done what was right because your mama told you. Or somebody at least told you. But also God gave us this thing called a conscience. In your conscience every day when you're doing wicked things, you're disturbed. It bothers you. It irritates you. And so we try to suppress it. I don't want to think about that. I don't want to feel guilty. I don't want to lose confidence because of what I did. I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And however I feel is okay. Whatever I think is all right. You want to be your own judge. You want to be God.
Come on, God.
But deep down inside, if you're honest with yourself, there's a hollow. Insecurity. And the truth is, without God, you're dying on the inside. And the wickedness of sin is like cancer that's eating you alive. I talked about this with some of the leaders recently. In the church, we don't see ourselves as wicked. We see those people. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. Those people, you know him. Remember her? We think of them as wicked, but we're the good guy. You're only the good guy if God is working in you. That's it. So this group of disciples, a sold-out church of disciples, is no better in the eyes of God than the world except for the blood of Jesus.
Right.
I was praying this morning and I was just pouring out my heart to God. I don't want to be wicked. I saw different areas of my life. Faithlessness, you know, bitterness. Ron talked about anger and what was the other one?
Anxiety.
I got anger, anxiety, and attitudes. I got the AAA by Biscayne Bay. Well, normally that's American Airlines Amphitheater, but for me it's anger, anxiety, and attitudes. And I'm a disciple! And so we look at the world and we go, wicked, horrible people, you must come with us, righteous people. And God just goes, what? No, that's not it. We need God desperately. Are you finding yourself fleeing, defensive, hard to disciple, hard to correct, unaware of your sin but you easily see the sin of others? Are you deflecting when someone points things out in your life? Are you blame shifting? But if it wasn't for him, if it wasn't for her, if you knew my wife, you'd understand. Now, I don't say that. Maybe you do. If you knew my wife, you'd understand how awesome I am. Do you find you have constant relationship problems? You just can't get close to people because they're so stubborn. You can't have an intimate relationship with people because they're so prideful. You just can't stay close to people. All your relationships are shallow and hollow and meaningless because they're so prideful and sinful. Right? I mean, it's them, obviously. It's not you. Although, you do find that everywhere you go, there you are. Everywhere you go, you seem to show up. And everywhere you go, you still have a relationship problem. You're like, it's their fault. No, it's not. You're the problem. Because deep down inside, you're wicked. Relationships get ruined by sin. Even if you look back to the most simplistic form of commands in the Bible, the Ten Commandments, most of those are about having relationships with other people. There's a couple about you and God. But all the rest are about how to treat people. Because we're so wicked. God goes, don't do this, do this. Don't do that, do this. Don't do this, do that. Oh, and by the way, love me with all your heart so that you can do that. This morning, this afternoon, have you found that wickedness has ruined your relationships with God and with people? How do you know? Ask the people you think you're the closest to. Hey, are we close? And if they give the, you know, that's a telltale sign. Something ain't right. You know? You know? I love that. I love an answer with a question mark. Yeah. Are we close? Yeah. You know, like, guys, I have a tough time with relationships. I'm a very selfish person by nature. And so only through my relationship with God have I learned to be giving, but left to my own devices, I don't like people. People bug me. And I'm a minister. That's a bad problem. But the wicked flees, though no one pursues. It's such a sad statement. But it is the truth. You wake up guilty, you go to bed guilty. Your boss says something, no, I didn't. Yeah, you know, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your husband, wife, your mom calls, but I didn't do it. Because you carry in you something that God is trying to get to your heart. He's trying to get to your heart. He's trying to get in there and expose that garbage. He's trying to show you, as Ron so eloquently put in the communion, he's not going to give it to you all at once because your head will explode. But little by little, he's going to expose you to yourself so you can see how to change and stop comparing yourself to other people. Compare yourself to Jesus so you can keep growing. When we start doing that, the wickedness starts coming off. You start changing, like, oh my gosh, I see it. Sometimes I just have to write my sin down and say it out loud. And it's like, oh. When you think about it, you're like, ah, you know, I'm selfish. But the truth is, selfishness is horrible. It's horrible. This morning, are you fleeing? Though no one is pursuing. Do you blame other people? Do you have contempt when people try to correct you? Is there a disdain in your life for leadership and authority? Do you have a minimal amount or just a flat lack of love? Is there apathy in caring for other people? Do you ignore other people? Do you ignore your own sin? Are you unresolved in any relationships? And I'm talking to the church. It's 2019. It's a new year. Whatever they did to you last year is over. Forgive them and move on. But also whatever you did last year, whatever you've done the first 6 days of 2019, it's over. Stop living a life of being trapped and wicked. Make a decision. I am going to do something flat out different. I'm going to work on this. I'm going to be urgent to change. You know, you do find that when people are insecure, if you really are honest biblically, it's just because they're far from God. God's trying to be close to us. But when we're insecure, it's because we're far from Him. I've told this story before. I want to tell it again so you can understand. When I was a young disciple, about 19 years old, I was trying to figure out what it meant to really be a Christian. And I was a pretty sorry excuse for one. But I was giving my best and I was trying. But I was plagued with insecurity. It was so bad that during the fellowship breaks at church, instead of the hugging and the high-fiving and the smiling, I'd go in the bathroom and I'd hide. I'd sit on the toilet with all my clothes on, and I'd just sit there. I don't really want to go back out there because I got to talk to him, and I got to say something that sounds stupid. And I was like, I don't want to do this. So I'd hide in the bathroom. And one day in the bathroom at church in San Francisco, I started praying. What am I doing in here with the toilet paper? What am I doing? I got the seat cover here covering the seat. What am I doing in here? Why am I here? Outside, I got hundreds of people that love God, that have changed their lives. They've turned things around. Yes, they're wicked, but they've radically transformed. Why don't I want to be out there with them? What is wrong with me? And I identified something when I was fleeing to the bathroom and hanging out with the toilet paper. It's because I was being wicked. An insecure man or woman is someone who's distant from God. Now, I'm not saying that feeling you get. You ever get that feeling? It's like right in here, you're like that insecure, like, is what I'm talking about? Those of you who are numb, you don't know what I'm talking about. Those of you who are hard-hearted don't know what I'm talking about. But that insecure feeling is like a sick kind of, and you want to get away from it? I started praying, God, this is sin. I know it's sin. I can't imagine Jesus sitting on the toilet doing the fellowship break. I just don't see it. No one wants to see that. That's right. So I kept praying. And I said, God, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to meet a couple of guys. I'm going to introduce myself and give me courage. Make me bold. Help me to stop being insecure. I hate it. I was fleeing because there was wickedness in my heart. A lot of times you come to church on a Sunday morning and you've had a wicked week. Immorality. We live in Miami. Glitzy city. World renowned for a place to come and sin. Immorality is rampant. Homosexuality is rampant. All kind of other sexual sins are just rampant. It's everywhere. It's hard to walk down the street without seeing something unbelievably ungodly. We've got to make a decision to repent of that stuff. Don't bring it into the Lord's church. Impurity, lying, deceit, laziness. These things are wicked, and it separates us from God. Don't let anyone lie to you. The truth is, the wicked flee when no one pursues. Today, I want to challenge you to overcome insecurity in 2019. But security or boldness is not arrogance. It's not because I'm just gregarious. That's not what boldness is. Matter of fact, let's dig into it. Point number two, the righteous are bold. The wicked flees, though no one pursues, but the righteous are bold. The word bold there in the Hebrew is batak, which means to hide for refuge. What does that mean? Well, you ever heard someone say, I hightailed it over to such and such? I hightailed it down to the store, right? Yeah. To hide, that phrase means to go quickly. The word batak literally means to go quickly to refuge. It does not mean machismo. I'm tougher than you. That's not what it means. It literally means someone who is longing to go quickly to refuge. It comes from the root word kasa, to flee for protection, to confide in. Isn't that awesome? So boldness is a lot different than I originally thought. There are other uses of it in the Old and the New Testament. We'll talk about that in the last point. But right here we find that the righteous are as bold as lions. And you're bold because you flee to God. You're bold because you run to God. And it says to go quickly. You don't get up in the morning and run to yourself or run to some vice or run to some other thing to try to make you feel secure. You run to God, the only one who can really protect you. When you're fleeing, who do you cry out to?
Yeah, come on.
Have you ever been in mortal danger? You literally thought you were going to die? What's the first thing that comes out of your mouth? God, help me!
Yeah, yeah.
He'll put us in situations like that all the time to get you to cry out to him, to run to him. Even the atheist, when he's about to die, goes, dear God, save me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Atheists don't believe in God. I don't believe in atheists. I don't believe in them. It's a lie. Put them in a tough enough situation. They're going to start praying. And so God wants us to hide for refuge, to go quickly for refuge to him. Then he says, it's interesting, the righteous bold as a lion. The righteous hide for refuge, or go quickly to refuge for God. He then makes them righteous, and so they're able to be bold. Confidence. Secure. To trust. Be confident or sure of not yourself, but of God. You know, I know a lot of you are visiting today, and I want to ask you just to be honest with yourself for a minute. I want you to raise your hands or anything. But I want you to really ask yourself, how am I doing spiritually? Now I've asked our congregation. I know the members of their church. I know how they're doing. I know what's going on. I know. Because we're family. But if you're visiting this morning, I want to ask you, are you really confident in God? Are you just confident in yourself? Are you confident in your religious actions? You're confident in what preacher so-and-so said and your grandpa said? Or have you flee to God? My problem for so many years growing up was I was trying to flee to God. I'd pray all the time. I'd cry out to him, but I didn't know what the book said, so I was fleeing the wrong direction. It was like I was praying to a God that didn't exist. Oh, God exists, but I was praying to the wrong one. I wasn't praying to the God of this book. I was praying to an image of God that I thought was God. A lack of confidence comes from not knowing God. You have nowhere to flee to. You're running, you're trying this and trying that, this relationship, this thing, this career, and you keep looking, and then you'll pray and you'll cry out at night, but you don't even know what to say because you haven't searched the scriptures where he reveals himself to you. Literally, the love story between God and man is right here. And most of it is his love for us. And every now and then in these pages, you're going to go, oh, there's another guy who loved him. Oh, there's a woman who loved him. But it's God's love story to win our hearts so that when you're able to see your sin, when you see the wickedness, when you see the hopelessness of your life, you'll start fleeing to him, the God that you can get to know. I love it that Paul writes in Philippians, I want to know Christ. After 30 years of being a disciple, Paul just writes, the only thing on my mind, what I really want to know is, how do I know God a little bit better? How do I get closer to him? He begs God in Philippians, please help me get to know you better. He was an older man. He had learned to go quickly to God. 1 John chapter 2. In verse 28, the Bible says, and now, dear children, continue in him. So he is talking to those who have become his disciples. If you're not yet a child of God, if you're not yet really a disciple, if you're an Americanized Christian, you're a Protestant, you grew up, or a Catholic, you grew up going to church, that's fine. But let me ask you something. Do you really know God? Are you with me? It's easy to talk about God, but do you really know him? Have you become a child of God according to the scripture? So when John writes this, he writes to his dear children. And he says, dear children, in the Lord, continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. Or bold and unashamed. It's the same word. Bold and unashamed. The righteous are as bold as lions, but is it your righteousness that makes you bold? See, we are called to remain in him so that we can be bold and unashamed. Yeah. I appreciate Tracy just laying it on out there. Yeah. Have you ever heard a communion like that? No. Does she have anything to hide? No. Bold and unashamed. And if you get to know Tracy Libby, you go, this woman's bold and unashamed. It just oozes out of her. She's got nothing to hide. There's a confidence. There's a boldness. But we need to be able to be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you're not truly a disciple of Jesus Christ, you will be ashamed when Jesus comes. If you don't stay faithful as a disciple, see, a lot of churches teach you can never fall away. That's garbage. It's never in the Bible. It's a misunderstanding and a twisting of many scriptures. Right here, he lays it out. Continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident. If you don't continue in him, you will not be confident. You're going to lose your boldness and you will be ashamed. The word here, unashamed, is taken from a root word to be disfigured. When we sin, we disfigure ourselves. When you get into these immoral relationships, you get into habits that are ruining your life. It disfigures you into a different person. It makes you different on the inside out from who God intended you to be. And yet, what did Jesus do for us? He went to the cross, and on the way, he was beaten. He was spit on. He was punched in the face. They pulled out his beard. It even says he was hard to recognize as a man by the time he got to the cross. They beat him so badly that his flesh is falling off of his back. He was disfigured for you so that you don't have to be disfigured. He was disfigured for you so that you don't have to be ashamed. He took the blows so that you and I could be healed. Do you have a relationship with Jesus that's like that? Turn to Acts chapter 2. Again, I'm talking to you who are visiting with us today. I don't want you to feel singled out. Well, kind of. Because I might have one shot to talk to you. I may never see you again. So I'm going to be bold and unashamed. I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says about really being a disciple. If you have not become a disciple according to the scriptures, you have not been saved according to what the Bible teaches, you are not able to be bold and unashamed. You are truly going to live as a coward and ashamed. And the Bible says in Revelation 21 that cowards don't go to heaven. Are you with me here? So please listen. In Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching the first gospel message, if you will, trying to help them understand how to implement the good news of Jesus. They were getting to know a little bit about him, but they needed to hear the rest of the story. He says in verse 36 of Acts chapter 2, "Therefore let all Israel be assured of this, God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" So when they heard the word of God, they were cut to the heart. They were convicted about what they had done. He had just showed them that they were the ones that disfigured Jesus. They were the ones that murdered Jesus. "But I wasn't there putting the nails in." It doesn't matter. Your sin, my sin, put him on the cross. And so Peter's trying to help them understand. You crucified Jesus. If you're sitting here this morning, you crucified Jesus. If you kill someone, what does that make you? A murderer. Do murderers go to heaven? Well, they can. But they won't unless something happens. What shall we do? Peter's answer is simple. And Peter was one of the apostles. He was chosen as the leader of the 12. Jesus gave him the keys to the kingdom. What do you do with keys? Open doors. The door he's opening is the door to get into the kingdom. Well, what does he say? Repent and be baptized, every one of you. How many of them should be baptized? Every one of them. But it took repentance before they could be baptized. Therefore, you can't baptize babies.
Right.
Babies can't repent. Now, sometimes you wish they would. The diaper, the crying. I raised 3 children, man. I changed thousands of diapers in my day. You look at them and say, "Just repent! Stop it!" The crying, stop. Yeah. Babies can't repent. But you know what I know? You can. This is beautiful. This isn't bad news. A lot of times, you know, you hear things like this, "Oh, no. Oh, this is terrible." No, this is good. This is really good. Don't you want to repent?
Yes.
Don't you want to change?
Yes.
Don't you want to be a different person in 2019?
Yes.
The Bible says repentance brings refreshing.
Yes.
It makes us come alive. God designed you on the inside so that you could mess up and then change. It's kind of cool.
Come on, bro.
So Peter says repent and be baptized. Baptized is baptismo. It literally means to be immersed in water. That's what it means. A lot of people try to tell you something different. Just go study out the word. You're going to find that they're wrong. What it means is very simple. To be immersed in water. It's so simple. Oh, it's so hard to be saved. No, you just got to repent and be baptized. Are you with me here? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. So you got to do it in Jesus' name. You got to do it His way. It can't be your way. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I got baptized 3 different times. I didn't know what in the world I was doing or why. Just splash, splash, water everywhere. I'm like, I don't know. And then finally I studied the Bible and I go, oh! I was doing it, you know, my way. See, it's got to be in Jesus' name. Are you with me? And then what's going to happen? This is what's cool. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. Why? For the forgiveness of your sins. There it is. It's not your righteousness. It's not my righteousness. The blood of Jesus on the cross will cover our sins. So when God looks down on the disciple, he doesn't see all the stupid things that they did, all the sinful things. He goes, look, there's my son. There's my daughter covered with the blood of my son who I gave to be disfigured for them so that they can be saved. This is a beautiful thing. People try to make it so complicated, so hard. Some people simplify it so much, they just say a prayer. That's garbage. Jesus is not going to magically come into your heart unless you repent and are baptized. He doesn't want to go in there. If you haven't been forgiven of your sins, he's not going in. He's like, talk to the hand. But see, if you repent as a disciple and you get baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, look what else happens. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is amazing. It's mind-boggling. Yeah. It's unbelievable to think that God, the God of the universe, that created everything, wants to be in you. He wants to be in me, an idiot like me that hid on the toilet? Yeah. Yeah, I'll go be with that guy. I forgave him. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord of God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message. Pray Jesus into their hearts. What? Said the sinner's prayer. Get baptized as a baby. Interesting. It says, those who accepted his message. What was the message? You crucified Jesus. You need to repent. You get baptized in Jesus' name, all your sins are going to be forgiven, and I'll give you the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Those who accepted the message, what was the message? We just talked about it. Yeah. Those who accepted the message, look what it says. We're baptized. But it's just that easy. You just repent and get baptized. You got to hear the message, though. I love this. And then about 3,000. We're added to a number that day. Yeah. Can you imagine the biceps on the apostles after this? Switch hands. Hey, you come help. We're just to 40. Hey, let's keep going. 2,998. 2,999. Yes! But you know what's sad about this? Those who accepted the message were baptized and added to the Lord's church. There were people who listened to the message that day and they remained disfigured and ashamed. Have you become a Christian according to the Bible? Unless we repent and get baptized as disciples of Jesus Christ, we don't go to heaven. Because your righteousness won't get you anywhere. See, the righteous are bold because they flee to God. They hide for refuge quickly in God. So he makes them righteous. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I don't know about you, on Judgment Day, do you want to be held guilty? No. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20, the Bible says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. This morning I'm asking you, be reconciled to God. He's waiting. He brought you here today. The person who invited you said, come with me. I want you to meet these awesome people. I want you to hear some of the message. Be reconciled to God today. Make a decision. I'm going to get into the Word. I'm going to get serious in 2019. I'm going to study the Bible. I'm going to be bold as a lion. I'm going to become a disciple. And I'm going to help my friends. Yeah. So he says, we implore you, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You know, a true disciple that's repented and been baptized and continued in the faith will stand before the Lord bold and unashamed, as bold as a lion. It's going to be a glorious day. But I want you to be honest with yourself. Are you truly right with God? And if you're not, it's not bad news. You just need to repent and get baptized.
Amen.
As a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And finally, point number three, bold as lions.
Come on. Come on, man.
The word lion here in the Hebrew in Proverbs 28, verse 1, is kefer. And it's a very interesting word. It has two possible meanings. One is a village as covered by high walls. Or a young lion as covered with a mane. The righteous are as bold as lions. So it's interesting. Both words have the same concept that it's teaching you. Both definitions. A village covered in high walls. You know, back in 2002, my wife and I took a trip to Kenya. We flew into Nairobi, were there for a couple of days, and then we went out to a place called Mombasa, which is on the coast, largest coast on that side of Africa, port, on that side of Africa. It was beautiful, it was amazing. But the poverty struck me. I was a little bit in culture shock for a couple of days. I'd never seen anything like it in my life. Then the next day, we went out to a place called Amboseli, which is a game park. We got to see some animals. But my favorite part of the trip was we went into the Maasai, where the Maasai people live, the Maasai Mara. It's along the Mara River that goes through Africa, runs down through the Rift Valley. And while we were there, we got to go on safari several times. And, you know, I've been to the zoo. You know, you see giraffes, like, hey, cool giraffe. Elephant, look at that. Lion, look at that. Got off the plane in the Maasai Mara, and we get in this Land Rover, seated about 14 people. Started driving over the plains. There's no roads till we got 10 miles, 15 miles in. And along the way, the guy just stops. There were two different Land Rovers. And a herd of elephants were coming our way. And what was weird is, you know, you ever heard someone say, oh, she walks like an elephant? You couldn't hear a sound. As the elephants walked by, massive creatures, just, you couldn't hear a sound. Every now and then you hear, as they would reach down with the trunk and rip up some grass. But as they walked by, it was like, we're like literally going, what? That was nothing. Next day they took us out on a safari and we saw some lions, males and females. I've never seen anything like it. A real lion, not a zoo lion. Zoo lions are awesome and everything, but real lions, awesomer. Average lion is about, you know, 8 feet long, 4 feet tall, weighs between 400 and 600 pounds, can run 50 miles per hour. Their paws are that big. As we drove up next to two males, just kicking it, as all the females were out hunting. Yes, I like that.
Come on.
That was a joke. We drove up next to one of them, and as we pulled this vehicle seats 14 people. The lion was as big as the vehicle. And I just sat there going, I didn't know what to say. That's crazy. And then the guide goes, be quiet. Because the roof is open. No sudden moves. And then one of my kids goes, Dad, I could not shut up. The lion kind of turns his head. You're like, oh. I mean, this thing could have eaten all of us like a snack. And I'm just sitting there going, this is unbelievable. But the righteous are as bold as lions. What's the lion confident in? His mane. His claws. You ever been scratched by a cat? Like, ow! Yeah, their paws are like that big. Get scratched by a cat. Paws that big. One swipe, you're dead. You ever seen their teeth? One of them yawned, you know. You're like, oh my gosh. You could fit three of my heads in the guy's mouth. I was like, no, no. And I just sat there going, man, if I'm righteous, not in myself, but if I'm righteous because of God, I can be bold as a lion.
Yeah.
We're talking about it Thursday night, and lions aren't really self-aware, if you will. They don't ever get up in the morning and go, am I a zebra? I wonder. I start acting like a zebra. Start eating grass, you know. But people, unfortunately, what makes us human is that we're self-aware. We kind of know who we are, so to speak. But the problem is we forget very quickly who we are. And we get insecure. We get weird. We start doing stupid things that people shouldn't be doing. A lion would never go eat the grass. A lion is not going to run away if a little animal comes along. Spider walks by. Ah! No, a lion's not going to do that. They know exactly who they are. They're confident in their claws. They're confident in their teeth. They're confident in their roar. There's no question. We're not like that. Because we haven't been righteous. Not your righteousness. Yes, you need to repent. Yes, you need to deal with sin radically out of gratefulness. But your righteousness doesn't make you right. It's God's righteousness that makes you right. Let's close out in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, Ted started his portion of the lesson yesterday, and he said, this whole boldness thing, he goes, I think I got it down. I just spelled the word, B-O-L-D. He goes, I got it, be old, cool. And then Ted went on to share all of his... share his weaknesses and share the things that he's overcome. And you look at Ted and you go, wow, he is bold. He's not just be old, he's bold. Amen. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, the Bible says, to keep me from becoming conceited. Because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord, take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. He wasn't dependent on his own righteousness. He was dependent on God's. He looked at his weakness and he goes, I can't do this. As you get older, you're going to find more and more, you can't do what you used to do. Be old isn't necessarily bolder. It is older. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, I'll depend on God and he makes me bold. I love that Ted is very aware of his mortality. So he lives as a man on a mission.
Amen.
Two of my best friends right now are suffering greatly. And God has allowed them to be in a very tough situation. My brother Jack is going through some stuff right now with his family. It's so painful. And I hope it's okay for me to share, but Jack has really wrestled the last couple of days with his own emotions to get his thoughts under control, to not be overwhelmed by this tremendous weakness, this thorn in the flesh that's come into his life with his family. It's so hard to deal with, and it hurts my heart. My brother Marcel, at this moment, his wife is in the hospital. And I know Marcel. This man prays. He cries out to God like few people I've ever met in my life. And he's transformed because of it. Doesn't depend on his righteousness. He's a righteous man because he depends on God. This morning I was thinking, praying about Jack and Marcel. And something just happened. I kind of had like an anxiety attack. And I'm praying. It's like, man, these are my best friends. God, take it away. God, give them the strength. God, be with them. Help them. And as I thought about what they were going through, I thought, I don't want to go through that. I don't want to face that pain. Your wife suffering, your son suffering. I don't want to go through that kind of darkness. I don't want to go through those feelings. God, please. And I literally had to sit down for about 30 minutes. I just felt overwhelmed. Because it could hit every single one of us. Your own life, your own struggles, your own sin, your own mistakes you have to live with. Family problems, family issues, money problems, life hits you. It tears you up inside unless you understand that God allowed that in your life so that you turn to Him. And then you're going to be bold as a lion. I know Jack will overcome. I know Marcel will overcome. Because their hope is in the Lord. This morning, are you bold as a lion? I heard a song this morning I want to share with you. And it came on literally right in that moment that I just had to sit down. And it's called You Say. I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just a sum of every high and low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. When I don't belong, oh, you say I am yours. And I believe, oh, I believe what you say of me. I believe. The only thing that matters now is everything you think of me. In you I find my worth, in you I find my identity. You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. And you say I am held when I am falling short. When I don't belong, oh, you say that I am yours. And I believe, oh, I believe what you say of me. Taking all I have and now I'm laying at your feet. You have every failure, God. And you'll have every victory. Because you say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. And you say I am held when I am falling short. When I don't belong, oh, you say that I am yours. And I believe, oh, I believe what you say of me. Today, let's understand that the wicked flee when no one pursues. Let's understand that the righteous are in fact bold, but it's not our own righteousness. And then we'll be able to live as bold as lions. Amen. Love you guys.